The major part of our parsha this week, Parshas Balak, is, as you know, concerned with the machinations of Bilam, inspired by Balak, although according to Chazal, Bilam is a Sona Yisroi even more than Balak. But Bilam, inspired by Balak, wishes to curse Bnei Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu thwarts his every effort. Before we actually come to the main selection that I have chosen for this evening, it might be in place, I may have mentioned it before, but it might be in place to record a very interesting observation made by Rav Avrom Naftali Galanti Zatzal on the opening pasuk of our parsha, to see how different people see different things. Vayar Balak ben Zippor, Eis kol asher asa Yisroel lo emori, which we translate, and Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Yisroel had done to the Emori. Said Rav Galanti, a goy always notices what Yidden are doing to Goyim. What Goyim are doing to Yidden, they never notice. It would appear from looking at the pasuk here as if Bnei Yisrael went to war with the Amori in a savage way and just wanted to trample him underfoot. They don't recognize that in the parsha of last week, it's already pointed out that Moshe Rabbeinu sent emissaries. We would like to pass peacefully. We will pay whatever we want. We have to pay. Below Noson Sichon Avor Begvulo. And then, as a result of the fact that Sichon went out to war with Bnei Yisrael, they then had to counter, and that is how the defeat of the Amori came about. But I think it's a very apposite observation. So, Balak is rather scared about the impending arrival of Bnei Yisrael in his borders, and therefore he sends for Bilam. Now, I always used to learn that he sent for Bilam because Bilam is what they call in the classics the best man for the job. He is a person who has various abilities which Balak intends to harness in order to bring about the end result that he desires. I came across during recent weeks an essay in the Sefer Nachlas David. The Nachlas David may not be as well known as other Sifrei Drush. The author of Nachlas David is Reb David Tevlez, who was a Talmud Muvok of Reb Chaim Ivelojan Zatzal, and Reb David himself was the teacher of Reb Yehoshua Heller Zatzal, whom we met many years ago when we discussed Pirkei Avos with the Peirush of Toledos Yehoshua. And the Nachlas David has a major thesis on exactly why it is that Bilam was chosen, and also takes the opportunity to develop many themes, and above all, to point to a very interesting sequence of thoughts in various psukim in the parsha. So the Nachlas David reads as follows. Nosim leiv lebiur hamikroos, bemishlei Bilam. Let us, first of all, he says, direct our attention to an understanding of various psukim, bemishlei Bilam, in the parables, in the poetic utterances of Bilam. Bishom nema, and this is what we find there. Vayisa misholo vayomar. Bilam then, as it were, begins to describe various things, and he says, Min Aram Yancheni Balak Meharare Kedem. Balak has summoned me from Aram, from the hills to the east. Lecha Orali Yaakov, come curse Jacob for me. Ulecha Zalam O Yisrael, and come and invoke anger on Israel. And I say, Moekov Lo Kado Gael. How can I curse what God has not cursed? Umoezam lo zom Hashem, and how can I be angry if Hashem is not angry? Kimei rosh tsurim erenu. I see him from the top of the crags. Umigvaos ashurenu, and I see him from the hills. Hein am levodod yishkon, they are a people who dwell alone, uvagoyim lo yischashov, and are not reckoned with amongst the nations. Mimono afar Yaakov v'chulei. Ve'yesh lo hosim lev, my friends, it is a masterpiece. The Yeshla Hosim Lei, direct your attention at a number of questions. Al Amoro, why would Balak need to say, Min Aram Yancheni Balak? Balak has summoned me from Aram. Liezer Tzorech, Hutschrech Lishaper Kele Balak. Why does he need to say to Balak, you've summoned me from Aram? Hallo hu hayodeya, meyezer makom hinchol. He knows where he summoned him from. Number two. We have to direct our attention, number two, Al Amoro, when the Pasuk says, Kimei Rosh Tsurim Erenu, Umigvoros Ashurenu. Kimadua Al Hatsurim. Why is it in relation to the Tsurim, the crags, which are, according to the Midrash, an allusion to the forefathers, skip to the brackets, Omar Loshon Meirosh? He says, Meirosh Tsurim Erenu. I see him from the top of the crags, Umigvoros, but in regards to the Gvoros, Kilkolal Kulon Viachad. He has included them all together, the Omar, and says, Umigvoros Ashurenu, and from the hills I perceive him. So why in regards to Tsurim, which is an allegory of the Ovos, it says Meirosh, and in regards to the Gvoros, which is an allusion to the Imohos, it says Stam. Number three, Gam Eich Yichayev Hanimshach Nizeh. Amoro, how come? What is the logical sequence after having said these words? Umigavaros Ashurenu, Hein Am Levodod Yishkon Uvagoyim Lo Yishashov. They are a people who dwell alone, not reckoned amongst the nations. What's that got to do with anybody? V'chol Eila Hadevorim Heimo Alumei Hakavono Ein Chizyonom Nifrot. It is a mystery. To try and work out the sequence of thought in the psukim, and the various other problems that he has highlighted in regards to the phraseology used. Says Rav David, Ulam hadavar mevu'or al pi ma'amar chazal. I would like to suggest that what is underlying this particular item that I have highlighted is in fact contained in a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas reads like this, Tonu Rabbona, our rabbis have taught us, Ein Korin Ovos Elo Lishlosha. There are only three personalities amongst our people who are deserving of the title Ovos. The Ein Korin Imohos Elo Liarboho, and only four amongst our ancestresses who are deserving of the title Imohos. And the Gemara says, Uporich Maitama, why do we not give that distinction to more people? If you want to say that we don't give the Shvatim the title of Avos because we don't know whether we are descended from Reuven or from Shimon or from Levi, so we've broken down after Yaakov into 12 distinct sections and we don't know which one we come from, so therefore it's not appropriate for us to accord the title Avos to those individuals from whom we may not be descended. If that's what you want to say, says the Gemara, Ihochi, if so, Imohos Nami lo Yodinan, Ime Rachel Korsinan, Ime Leah Korsinan. In there, why then in the case of the Imohos, I don't know whether I'm descended from Rachel, or I'm descended from Leah, from Bilah, from Zilpah. So why, Taker, do we only give the title Ovos and Imohos to these select few? Says the Gemara, Ad Hochi Chashive, Tvelo Chashive. Because, in regards to Chashivos, the title Ovos is a title of distinction, and it is deserved only by the most extraordinarily outstanding individuals, and they are Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, patriarchs, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, matriarchs. Now, says the Dachlas Dovid, V'hinei miloshon ein kodin Ovos elo legimel. When we say that we only give the title Ovos to three people, Nire Borur, it is quite obvious, Shebor Lichlol Kol Hadoros Horishonim, that it is obvious from the Gemara that we have no intention of according that title to anybody who came before Avraham, not to Terah. Umenoyach Ad Avraham, the Asorah Doros, may other the Anoach Umenoyach Ad Avraham, Shekulon Eino Kore B'Shem Ovos, after Hoyu Bohem Tzadikim, Ke Odom V'Sheis V'Chanoch, U'Mesusherach V'Shem Po'Eva V'Domeyem, V'Hagamora Lo Keshokel V'Tori, Elo Madua Ein Kolin Ovos L'Hashvotim, Avol Madua Ein Kolin Ovos L'Doros HaKodmim, Lo Nosnu Shum Tam Lo Zeh V'Dobo Zeh Toruch Tima. Says the Nachlas Dovid, the Gemara never entertained for one moment the idea of extending the title Ovos to anyone who came before Avraham, even though they were outstanding individuals. Shame.
Eber,
Noach, Ish Tzadik Tomim Hoye Bedorozov, Misu Shelach, Chanuch. Why is the title of those not even entertained for the people who came before Avraham? Says the Nachlas Tovit, Ulam Amisa So Inyan Hu. The truth of this matter is, Ki Ein Korei Ov Eloka Asher Hadoros Hanim Shochim Mimenu, Kulam Hoyu Kelulim Bo, Ki Aben Hu Kocho, Vahabo Acharov Hu Koach Kocho. A person is only entitled to be known as an Av when the seed of succeeding generations is contained in that person's person. Because then it is the Koach in the father, and he is therefore entitled to be called an Av, an ancestor. V'chein b'chol meshech ha-dolus ha-boyim achrof afilu ad elefter. Kulom heim novim v'nigorim v'nimshochim u'chelulim b'zera ha-ov horishon v'lozeh yikorei v'shem av. A person is only entitled to be called an Av for succeeding generations if indeed the seed of those succeeding generations are contained in him. V'lozeh omru chazal, for which reason Chazal have said in the negative, Ki ha-horeig nefesh achas, a person who kills one soul, dung of not only the blood of the person you've killed, but the dams are osof, and sof kol adoros teluyimbo, levavur ki chulon kelulimbo. So an av is a person who, by very definition, contains within him the seed of all succeeding generations, and sof kol adoros. Ulam, however, Kol zehu b'meshech hadoros hanolodim al pisidve ma'areches hativi. That is a proposition which is accurate when we speak about those people who are born naturally one generation after the other. It is therefore appropriate and relevant to refer to the ancestor b'shem Av, because he was the progenitor of all that comes in succeeding generations. Ki ho Av notea. Koach hazera bivano, uvano bivenvano v'chem kulam. That's the way it is under ordinary circumstances. Omnam, however, lo yitachein lo markein bizarro shel Avraham avinu olav ha-shalom. But you cannot say that in regards to the descendants of Avraham avinu, that people who came before him are entitled to be called Av, even in the legal sense. Forget about the chashiva sense. Why? Kiyan hu hoyo oko, because it is well known that Avraham Avinu was sterile, right? And others say, divrei Chazal gam tumtum, they had deficiencies which most definitely prevented him ever fathering children. V'soro imenu omru Chazal shi'ika mitron lo hoyo lo, she hadn't got a womb according to Chazal. So neither of them had the instruments with which to propagate. Ein bohen koach hazera shel ha'ovos ha'kolim v'soldosom efes. So therefore, if you want to refer to those who came before them, they did father Avraham. But they are not the fathers of succeeding generations, because al pi teva, everything came to a halt with Avraham on his side, and everything came to a halt with Sarah on her side. It's only ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu berachamav higviyom imal ledarchei ha-teva, as it is written, vayotzei also achutzo, vayomelo habitno ha-shomayimo, uvoso al ze amisas troshes chazal, and chazal have noted on these words, vayotzei also achutzo, shehigviyom lemaala migilgul chamo. He lifted him up, elevated him even above the sun. V'hakavona, the meaning of that meaning is, shehigviyom imal ledarchei ha-teva, he lifted him up outside his own nature. Uvora osam beriyo chadosha. And he has created them now as new people. La'achar shenitzrar domam ve'afes kocham ulesoro lohoyo la'orach kanoshim v'hichziron lenar usan. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through a miracle, has given both of them the ability, Avraham to father and Sarah to bear children. And for that reason gave them new names. Kimishbat kol hanoladim mitachilas yitzirasam shekolin osam b'shem. And after having made them into new people, the Osno Tabohem Koa Chazera in the Kol Hoelion, Govua Me Al Govua Me Mal Darchei Ateva. And then, as new people, miraculously regenerated, he has given them the ability to father and to bear children. Umeyato, and now that you understand this, Hadova move on Meyelov, one can understand, ki toledosov shel Avraham Avinu olav ha-shalom, lo levado yihye hazera. Avraham Avinu, to put it in my famous vocabulary, is not a descendant, he is an ancestor. He's not a descendant to the extent that those who came before him should also be considered the ancestors of all his descendants, because to all intents and purposes, Abraham, as a descendant of Terach, Sarah, as a descendant of her parents, came to a close. And a new epoch has opened up where they are newly defined personalities with newly defined strengths and abilities, and they are therefore not a continuation, they are a legitimate new beginning. The angel Osome Hadoros Hakodimim, and no one of the earlier generations has Shum Koach the Chelik Bohem. The Enom is Yachsim Aleim Klal, Vilokach Ein Kodin Olos Elalishnosha, Vizen Nochunim Avua. So you want to know why only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are called Avos, and not those who came before? Because those who came before have no sheiches. They have a sheiches with the sterile Avram. They have a sheiches with the barren Sarah. And therefore they can't bridge that gap. It's an unbridgeable gap. They can't go skipping over, Mendelian-wise, they can't skip over and then join Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, v'chulei. Whereas we are descended not from the, as it were, natural Avraham Avinu, natural Sarah, we are descended from the Vayotzei Oso Hachutza, Avraham and Sarah. Sarai Eino Yodetis, Sarah Yodetis, Avraham Eino Modit, Avraham Modit. Now you are all, of course, asking, where does this all fit in to the particular problems which were raised at the beginning of our essay? Says the Nachlas Dovid. Vehine Bolok Hischako al Shoroshom Shel Yitzroel. Bolok knows what he's after. If he can get to the root of this people and he can destroy them at their foundations, then he will have worked wonders in his eyes. Veheroes Mikorom. Bolok sent for Bilam because Bilam has got something that nobody else has. Because Bolok is not interested in cursing them as a people. He wants to curse their very source. And if their source can be impugned, then they themselves, as a natural consequence, will suffer. V'choshav la'mishpot. And therefore he assumed as a logical truth, Ki acharei ki moladeto shel Avraham avihem me'aram naharayim me'ir nachor. He's picking Bilam because Bilam comes from the same part of the world and he is, in his eyes, a relation. Vilozos bochar b'Bilam, and that is why he chose Bilam. Shehu kamo kein me'aram naharayim yan ki hu muchol lekale lo sam ulaharalo hem yosemi kol zuloso. Because a person who is related to you has the koach to do you harm more than people who are far away from you. As I tell some of my congregants, nobody can hurt you like the people dearest to you. How do I know? Because Levavur Sheyeshi Mohem is Kashrus TV. And this is related to what Chazal say, a most fascinating Chazal. Minei Ubei Avo Lezil Be Narga. The wood for the axe that chops down the forest comes from the forest itself. The wood that is used for the handle that damages every one of those trees is made from a tree. In other words, what is part and parcel of what is to be damaged does the most damage. And goes on to say, the David, the Osra mi Moab, and therefore it was David who came from Moab, Mitzadimo, Mochatz Taaseh Moav, in the words of this week's parsha, he trampled on the nobles of Moab by Yamadeh Bahem Shnei Chavulim Lahomis, etc., and the way in which he chose who would live and who would die. For Hoyoze Yan Ki Hoyoloi Moav His Kashrus Tivi Mitzad Imo, and that is why he was able to do them so much harm, because he had a Hiskashrus, he had a connection, a relationship with Moab. The nearer you are to the people you want to do harm, the more far-reaching your harm will be. Velozos Bilam Shahoya Mirlide Aram Naharaim Humukon Yosil Horalohem Villa Kor Shorosham Villa Keabitzosom Yanti Ika Shorosham Shahu Avram Avihem Hoyogamke Mirlide Aram Naharaim. So that's why I want you. I want you not because you happen to be one of the greatest prophets amongst the non-Jews. You are exceptionally valuable to me because you are related to these people. And as a relative, you will do them more harm than any others. Ulam Bilam Heshivlo. But Bilam had to disabuse him of this particular assumption. Ha'af Umlam, you're right. Ki Avraham Aviyam Hoyon the Aram Naharayim, Ukamokain Hoi Mohos Kulam Hoyubanos Aram. Wonderful. Avraham Avinu is the only one of the Ovos to come from Aram. Yitzchak and Yaakov are born in Eretz Yisrael. As far as the Mohos are concerned, however, every one of them is from Aram. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya. Im kolze lo motzasi bekolchi hachona lohoralehem yeshem yisilasi. Says Bilam, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I haven't got the koach to harm them as a result of what you perceive to be a relationship. Why? Yan ki eineni misyaches aleihem. Because the only way I could be joined to them would be through people who came long before Avraham Avinu came on the scene. And you know that Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, as I explained through the Gemara Brachos, they have no relationship between any of the other nations. Because Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov are a new start. They are not a continuity of what went on before. Ki hazera hanimshach mi Avraham besoro einam mi kolchom shel avoseim ho aramiyim. Efes ki hu mi mekor elyon gavoa mi al gavoa. But their source is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who transformed them into new personalities. Bilozeh, that is what the psukim mean. Min Aram yancheini Balak. Balak has summoned me from Aram. Dafka from Aram, because he says that's the connection that's going to work. Yirtzeh. And Bilam is saying to him, Atoch Hashavta Lemishpot, Ki Yesh Bi Hachona Horuya Lahoralahim, Levavur Ki Molanati, He Ir Molanis Avram Aviyim, Viyesh Li Tzad Yichus Vizkashus Tiviyimohem. You think that I'm going to be successful because I have a bond with them? Ulam Toisa Bidim Yoinacha. But you've made a mistake. On the one hand, you're right. Ki Mei Rosh Tzurim Elenu. I see the head of their family from the point of view of Ovos. And that's Avraham Avinu. He is Aram Naharayim. Yes, that's where he comes from. Umikvoros Ashurenu. And I see the Imohos. All of them are from Aram Naharayim. Yes, that is true. Nevertheless, Avol Ma'abetza, but it's Vetaich Gornish Telfen. Acharei ki hazera hanimshach mehem veheim oklal b'nei Yisrael ein liyaramayim shum koach v'chelik bohem v'yeinu misyachsim aleihem. But it won't work because they have no sheiches with Aram Naharaim. They are a new beginning. Ein korin la'ovos elosh losho. And that is why Bilam went on to say, you know why it won't work, even though min Aram yancheini v'chulei? Because hein am levodod yishkon uvagoyim lo yischashov. Ki ha'am hu levado velo yischashev bagoyim klal ki elohem shum koyach v'chelek bohem. It's a masterpiece. You thought that it would work because I have some kesher, some bond. The truth of the matter is Aram Naharayim is incidental, because the Jewish people are a nation that is not considered part and parcel of Aram Naharayim, because the Avraham Avinu who was born in Aram Naharayim is an Avraham Avinu that ceased to exist. A new Avraham Avinu took over, and he is an Avraham Avinu who is Vayotze Yoso Achutzo, and that is the Avraham Avinu who is their ancestor. The Aramean Avraham Avinu is long finished. In fact, this might be in some way related to what we have looked at in other contexts, the fact that Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha meyatzecha mimolamtecha meis avicha, and immediately preceding that pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, at the end of Parshas Noach, it says Vayomer Serach Begoron, meaning we say now in our context of the Nachlas David, the beginning of the spiritual odyssey of Avram Avinu follows on the homiletic demise of Terach and all that went before him. Vayomos Terach Bechoron, forget Terach. Terach doesn't exist, even though he didn't die till many years later. Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha, that's a different matter. That's a new beginning. And we'll see him, Mr. Hashem, when we have the opportunity. The Maharal says Ke'en Zeh. In fact, the Maharal relates that Rashi, speaking about Vayomer Terach Bechoron, Kol Gershin is Gaya Kekotn Shano Ladomi. Avraham Avinu is like a Gershin is Gaya Kekotn Shano Ladomi, as if he has no parent. Something similar in context to what we are speaking about this. Okay. As you can appreciate, it's a Sidra that lends itself to many fascinating interpretations. What I have to do now, I know it's another look inside the sources, but whenever I come across something which has been handed down in the name of the Vilna Gaon, I'm surprised myself that I've actually managed to keep it in for the past 4 years. It is something so extraordinary that one can only boggle at the imagination of this particular individual. So, let's see what Pasuk it's dealing with, and that's Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches. Something extraordinary. Further confirmations that Lithuanians are aristocracy. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayan Bilam Vayomer Avdei Balak. Follow carefully. And Bilam answers and he says to the servants of Balak, Im yiteli Balak malo beiso kesev ezahav. If Balak was to give me the fill of his house of silver and gold, lo uchal, I am not able la'avod es pi Hashem Elokai, to transgress the word of the Lord my God, la'asos kitano o gedola, to do something small or to do something big. And of course, there's a kasha. If I'm not allowed to transgress to do something small, is the kal v'chomer, I'm not allowed to do something to do something big in defiance of Hashem. Says the God. Over the page, on the right hand side. Says the God as follows. Vayan bilom vayomer, lo uchal la'avod es pi Hashem la'asos kitano o gedola. V'yesh l'dakdek, says the God like this. We have to ask a question. So if he's not able to do something small, is memela muvon shemikol shekein gedola lo yuchal, so for sure he's not able to do something big in defiance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wishes. Okay. V'lechura, therefore, I'm suggesting, initially, hatevos o gedola is miyusoros. The words o gedola appear to be superfluous. If he can't do a ketano in defiance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's how much more so he can't do a gedola? Omnom yevuor, however, all will be explained, says the Gaon, al pi doroshosom be medrash plia. If we incorporate a medrash plia, which are a fascinating midrashim, many of them are meshulalei ha'avona, difficult to understand them, on the pasuk vayosem Hashem dovor befi pilo. Now we usually translate those words as, and Hashem put a word into the mouth of Bilam, a dovor. So the machlokas in the Medrash Pliya. Chadomar, one rabbi said, you know what he put in his mouth? Chaka, a fish hook. Hoda hook, Steve. And the proof that it was a fish hook is because the pasuk says, Mo echo lo kabo kale. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? I don't need to tell you. Little difficulty, what that's going to do with fish hooks. But listen. The Chadomar, and another rabbi said, no, you know what he put in his mouth? Resen, rains. And I prove it. How can I be angry if Hashem is not angry? You see rains in there? What? And to put it in my polite rabbinic language, what is going on? Most unbelievable. What are they talking about? Says the Gaon, Omnom Yevuah. But I will explain. Tehine hachinuk bein resin lechako. What is it if it rains on a fish hook? Chako is a machakofuf, a fish hook is a bent pin, shenichnas beloshen hadog, which goes into the tongue of the fish, the dokro, and pushes the tongue down, shelo yuchola hotzio lachut, so that it's not able to get its tongue out. The resen, hula hepech, and the function of the reins is on the contrary. Shelochatz esifse habehem odochek otzum. It puts such pressure on the lips of the animal, ad shemitoch halachatz zuadchak, motzi on the shomelochutz, by the pressure of the reins, the animal is forced to put its tongue out. V'yesh lomar, therefore I want to say to you, d'shnei haman d'yomrim hanizkorim liyel lo plige. I'm suggesting both of these rabbis, one says a fish hook, and the other says a brains, and they're not arguing. Mar omar chado, mar omar chado. Why? Ki b'yemes lishneyem hutznach, because the truth of the matter is, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to control Bilam, pam lechako, lehatzor lishonu besoko, on some occasions he had to put a fish hook in order to stop him talking. Upam lereshen lehochi lishonu lechut ledava yose, and there were sometimes he had to use the reins to make him talk even more. What's the chat with that one? Sometimes he wanted to cut him short, and one time he wanted to encourage him to go on further than he wanted to go. Says the Gaon. The Indian is as follows. Ki tomid hoyochose rak lekaleil es Yisrael. The truth of the matter is all Bilam wants to do is to curse the Jewish people. Ki b'yemes hoyosorim yoshim yibolok v'penish Rashi, as Rashi points out, he hated them more than Bolok. Ubolok lo amare levagoroshinim and words, etc. Okay. V'hinei odua. Now let's make the cheshbon. Let's now, says the Gaon, assess. Shame Elohim, the word Elohim, Mora Audin. That is a description of God to the modern Bola. Ubola flo amare levagoroshinim and words, etc. Okay. Vihine odua. Now let's make the cheshbon. Let's now, says the Gaon, assess. Shame Elohim, the word Elohim, Mora Audin. Okay. Vihine odua. Now let's make the cheshbon. Let's now, says the Gaon, assess. Shame Elohim, the word Elohim, Mora Audin. That is a description of God in his quality of justice. That's why Elohim can be used in Mishpah. As Rashi points out, he hated the more than Bolak. Ubolak lo amare levagoroshinim and words, etc. Okay. Vihine odua. Now let's make the cheshbon. Let's now, says the Gaon, assess. Shame Elohim, the word Elohim, Mora Audin. That is a description of God in his quality of justice. That's why Elohim can be used in Mishpatim as a judge. And the word Elohim, Yavodim Ashleim. Right? Utechiloso, and the beginning of the word Elohim is the word Kale. And the word Kale is a Shem Midas HaChesed. The word Kale is a descriptive of God in his designation as a person, as a God of kindness. As the Pasuk said, Chesed Keil Kolayo. So Elohim is Midas Din. Keil, which is the first two letters of that word, is a Midas Chesed. Now let's take the word Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The full word is a Shem of Rachamim. And the beginning of that word, Ko, Yud Kei, is a Shem Midas Hadin. Ashrei Hagever Asher Tiyasrenu Ko. Now. V'hine Bilam Rotzo Tomid Lioreir Hadin Al Yisrael V'haskiro Aleihem Shemos Hamurim Al Din. Bilam wanted to invoke God's quality of justice against the Bnei Yisrael so that he would be able to do them harm. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let him. When he wanted to say Elohim, which would be Midas Hadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a fish hook in his tongue and didn't let him finish the word, and it came out Kale. More, right? Umor ekov lo kabo kale. I can't curse because kale is not a curse. Kale is midas achesed. When he wanted to use the word yud kei, which was the letters of Hashem, the first two letters, which would be a midas hadin, is that Kodesh Baruch Hu put reins in his mouth to make him go on more than he wanted to go on, and it ended up yud kei vav kei. Is lo chal la'avor es pi Hashem elokoi? I cannot do anything with the words Hashem or Elohim. Lasos ketana, either to shorten one, O gedola, or to prolong the other. You hear it was Hashem gone. Is that is the pshat chad omar chako? Once there was a fish hook, tichsiv moekov lo kavo kale. That was the fish hook which stopped him saying Elohim and made them only say kale. And the other said, no, he put a rest in, he put a reins in, because moezem lo ezem Hashem, yud kei vav kei. He wanted to say yud kei. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him stay out the whole lot. Lo uchal la'avor et pi Hashem elokai, mechim lechatat sitte. Lo uchal la'avor et pi Hashem elokai, lasos ketana. I can't shorten where I would like to for my purposes, Gedayla, or I cannot elongate for my purposes. Heim heim divrei Hagon. Okay. There is an essay now. I'd like to go through it. To my mind, it is a great mustar. It's a beautiful essay. And I have found it in the writings of Rav Bergman, who is the son-in-law of Rav Shach in the Shari Oro and Chelek Aleph. And it is a very, very, very profound and very beautiful. We'll begin and then we'll see Chatzi Bichsav, Chatzi Balpeh, we'll see how it goes. It's the Gemara in Brochus. The Gemara in Brochus says it's all centering around Bilam and the tent in Dinyonim. Omer Rav Chelbo, Omer Rav Hune. Rav Chelbo says in the name of Rav Hune, Kol HaKoveya Mokom Lesviloso, a person who has a fixed place to daven, Elokei Avraham Yezro, the God of Abram will be his help. Uchashemesen, when that person dies, Omrim lo, people will say of him, a onav, what a humble man, a chotav, what a pious man, mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu, one of the disciples of Avraham Avinu. Is the Avraham Avinu minolad the kovam okum? And how do we know that Avraham Avinu was koveya place to daven? Because the pasuk says in Vayela, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, El hamokom asher omad shom, the Ein Amido Elo Tfilo, and Amido in this context refers to Tfilo, Shenemar Vayamot Pilchos Vayepale. What is the special humility of being Koveya Mokom Lisviloso, of having a fixed place to daven? Says the Shari Ora. If you look into Pirkei Avos, you will discover that the Mishnah compares Avraham Avinu to Bilam Arosho. And we are told there that as far as Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shefela, all these concepts of humility identify you as a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. But in Ayin Ra, Ruach Kavua, Nefesh Rechava, mi Talmud of Shel Bilam Harosh. So the contrast is between Avraham Avinu and Bilam Harosh. Bilam is proud, Avraham is humble. Let us see, says Rav Bergman, what happens to Bilam? It says to Balak, build me 7 altars here. And prepare the various animals and we will make korbanos. And he starts and he tries. And as we know, it doesn't go. A person of humility would understand that the reason why it doesn't go is because it's not acceptable. It's a wrong thing that we try to be doing. So what does Balak say to Bilam? Not, let's give it up. We'll try another place. There's nothing wrong with us. If there's a deficiency in this particular collaboration, it must be because the site that we've picked is wrong. We'll try another place. And it doesn't work, so they try another place. A person who is proud will always blame everything except himself for the failure of his endeavors. A bad workman always blames his tool. So therefore, the pride of Bilam is that instead of saying the faulty Brutus or some other biblical quotation and saying it's in ourselves, he says, no, if there's a chisaron, the chisaron has to be in the place. Nothing, Chas v'Shalom, is wrong with me. Avraham Avinu prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he prayed, maybe there's 50, maybe there's 45, maybe there's 30, maybe there's 20, maybe there's 10. And he gets up the next morning, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, El HaMokom Asher Omad Shom L'Pnei Hashem, and he comes to exactly the same place. Ah, your tefillahs didn't work last time. Yes. My tefillahs may not have worked last time, but there's only one reason why my tefillahs didn't work. Because I didn't pray hard enough. It's got nothing at all to do with the thing. It's called HaKoveya Mokom Lisvilosu. A person who says that the ikkar is not where you daven. The ikkar is how you daven. and is willing to say to himself and to admit that if it hasn't worked out, that it's got to do with me, that person is an honest. That person has humility. He's first willing to recognize that there is something wrong in what I have done, not in the paraphernalia and not in the externalia of what it is that's going on. It's a masterful interpretation of that Gemara. Now, I don't think it will be spoiling the story for you to tell you that Bilam does not succeed in everything that has been attempted. I remember I learned the final mission in Beit Zav before we came to the Siyam, and one of my congregants said, Rabbi Brenson, you've spoiled the ending for me. But let's see. There's a most fascinating set of psukim here. Towards the end of the whole episode of Bolok and Bilam. And Perek Kaf Dalet Pasuk Yud. Perek Kaf Dalet Pasuk Yud. To see how the Gedolim approach these psukim. After all his attempts, Bolok doesn't get one single decent claw worthy of the name out of Bilam. Only gets more brokers and more brokers. Vayichal af Bolok el Bilam. Ah, enough is enough. He gets angry with Bilam. Vayispokes kapor, he claps his hands in consternation. Vayomer Bolok el Bilam lo kubo yavayker osicha. Vihinei beirach dovorech zesheloish piyomim. And now get out. Vayomer Bilam el Bolok halo gam el malochecho asher sholachto elai. Dibarti lemor. So Bilam says to Bolok, what are you getting angry with me for? When I first came to you, I told you. Im yiteli bolok melo veiso kezev izov lo chal avoris pi Hashem lasos tovor omili bi ashi yidaber Hashem oso adavir. I told you I can do nothing. Whatever I call his baruch will tell me to do, I've got to do. Ask the brisker of the Beis HaLevi. Is this news to Bolok? Bolok knew what the arrangement was to begin with. As soon as Bilam came, much as we mightn't like him, but he was man enough to say to the Avdei Bolok, I'm really not the master of my own fate. If I will have to say A, I'll say A. It'll have to be B, it'll be B. And Bolok seems to have accepted him on those terms. And all of a sudden, after three failures, Bolok turns around to Bilam and he says, this is a disgrace. What's going on? Says the Beis HaLevi so beautifully. I don't understand the marshal, why he chose the marshal, but nevertheless. He says, somebody goes up to somebody in shul and says to the balabos, I give you £5 if you go up to the rav and give him a patching pot. It's only a marshal I hasten to ask. So, the gentleman says, in those proverbial words, I can't. What does I can't mean? Either can mean I can't, or it means I can't do it for £5. Right? It's the box. You say to somebody, I want you to climb Everest, and he says, I can't. His stomach means it's physically, it is impossible. It's just something that he's not able to do. Knowing Bilam as a Rodev Kesef, a Yohev Kesef, when he came to Bilam, when he came to Bolok, and he says, I have to tell you, you know, I'm not able. So Bolok understood this to me, and I'm going to have to smear a little more than I had intended to begin with. If you oil the wheels, they go. So he's trying to up the ante, as they say. Laruchal doesn't mean that I'm not able. It means that you've got to make it worth my while to be able. And then came towards the end, and once, twice, three times, and Bolok says, what are you doing? You're not doing anything for me. So therefore he says, Hallo gamel malachecho asher shalachto elai dibarti lemor. I told you, says the Beis HaLevi, isn't it interesting? He did tell him. But people hear what they want to hear. He heard it with one shot. Not that I can't do it. He heard that it's not worth my while to do it from a low base of Kesavazov. I can do it for more. So Bolok heard the interpretation that suited him, whereas in reality, Bilam was signing to him all the time. Skatenish, when that's a skatenish, skatenish. And that was the way it was. Okay. Let us now turn towards the end of the Parsha, which of course contains a very sad episode in the history of Bnei Yisrael, and that is in regards to the episode of Baal Peor. Now, what I want to draw your attention to is the following. Vayeshev, the parsha begins at Perek Kafe. Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim, vayochel ha'om, lisnos, vatikrena lo'om, vayochel ha'om, vayishtachu l'Elohim, vayitzomed Yisrael v'al pa'ot. Here there is a famous comment of the Netziv in the Yemek HaNetziv to the Sifrei. Vayesh l'dakti, powerfully, the Bechar Shoksiv, in all the parsha it says, vayeshev ha'om, vayochel ha'om, vatikrena lo'om, vayochel ha'om. And then all of a sudden, we are hakein shino akosuv vayitzomed Yisrael leval peor. Why the change? Says the Netziv, v'yodua, and it is well known, deha'om lifahomim peirusho al pochos erech. The word om usually refers to the lower echelons in Jewish society. The Yisrael, whereas the word Yisrael, in contrast, more al-chashivu, refers to the more choshava element of the people. The two, and furthermore, the kan pile shakosuv leval pahor, in regards to the Yisrael, it says leval pahor, and earlier on it said, vayishtachu le'lohehen, they bowed down to their gods. So there seems to be a distinction between Leilo Hehen and Val Pahor. Well, I thought it was Val Pahor only. V'chi Elo Hehen, d'chesiv adko, lav Val Pahor hu, avol ho'inyan. But the answer is as follows, says the Netziv, and it's fascinating. D'bitechilo lo niskalkulu elo hapechusim. When all these types of Avodah Zorah began to proliferate on the advice of Bilam, the only people who became in any way attracted were the Pechusim. And not think any particular Avodah Zorah had any particular staple support it. Elo afila Avodah Zorah acheres lo yochlu lamod bo lefi pechisus erkom v'takir bo. Because as the Omar concerned, it's lay low hey hen. Whatever guy the goyim in there, they were interested to go along first to the air of rap, and they distracted away from the worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as far as the Seyerech, they are by Yishtachu Leilohehen, they worship to gods irrespective of whether they were gods of any major pulling power or not. However, Aval HaKesherim Shebador Lohoyu Nicholim Becholzeh. But as far as the Bnei Yisrael, the Chashuvim, those people, they were not in any way attracted by these little idols which were being floated around. Elo shepoga bohem menuvel zeh Baal Peor. It was only the Avodah Zorah of Baal Peor that had an attraction for them. V'yimshoch acharov bekocho hagodol shehidbia bo yotzer oru voreichoshech yisporach gam es yisroeh. And therefore you should know that by Yitzomed Yisroel, as far as Yisroel were concerned, the only idol that had any attraction for them, and that seduced them in any way, was Baal Peor. Shelo yochlu lifrosh mimenu imlo b'mesilus nefesh, v'lo cholodom zochem. So therefore the introductory paragraph in regard to this inyan of Baal Peor is to tell you, that in contrast to all other idols which succeeded in seducing the lower echelons of the people, the higher echelons who are known as Yisrael, they did not allow themselves to be tempted one moment by any of these alien gods. There was only one exception. And the exception was Baal. It has a koach which they could not resist. Now what is its koach? And it is fascinating. The Ksava Kabbalah says, the reason why these people, the Yisroel, were seduced by Baal Peor, ki mishar hu elilim shehoyu imohem hoyu nizhorim, because in regards to all the other idols and alien gods, they were able to protect themselves from them. Or even Yisroel. Omnom bozeh Baal Peor to'u. But in Baal Peor, even the Bnei Yisroel, the Hashivim, made a mistake. The Choshvam, She'ein bozeh aveira. They thought there was no aveira in Baal. Now listen carefully, please. Ve'ulai hu mitzvah levazosa. Omnam tol bozeh me'achar she'avodosa bekach. How does one worship Baal Peor? Chazal tell us in Sanhedrin that the way you worship Baal Peor is you defecate in front of the idol. So the Bnei Yisrael thought, this is not showing honor. This is being mevazeh. On the contrary, we are involved in holy work. We are showing our total discard and disregard for this Avodah Zorah by the fact that we carry out such a dover mius in front of it. Says the Ksave Kabbalah, that was their mistake. Because in regards to embarrassment, those of you who've learned the Bavas, Bava Kama, etc., will know that in regards to how much you have to pay for Demei Busha, Hakol Lefi Hamavayesh V'Hamizbayesh, it all has to do with the stature of the person who is doing the embarrassing and the stature of the one who is being embarrassed. If the stature of the one who is being embarrassed doesn't regard it as an embarrassment but as a kavod, you don't pay. So they made the mistake in assuming that what they were doing was being mevayesh, when in reality that was its secret. That they were able to turn something which was so despicable into a lifestyle, and before you looked around you were caught. And the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal and the Sichos Musar, it's fascinating, and now is not the time for me to go into it, but it is rather interesting that as far as he is concerned, and he says so in so many words, the worship of Baal Peor, the nearest modern equivalent to it, is the permissive society, where anything goes, and the more you demean yourself, the holier it is. People in a million years would not do half of the things that people do, the way they dress, the way they ignore their own personal dignity. As an isolated item, it is a mishagah. As a lifestyle to be copied, it is a most virulent plague which attacks people who otherwise are. You see people who've graduated from universities and they sit on the road like animals. And this, he says, is Baal Peor. Because they think that what they're doing is merely just negating themselves. It's not true. It is a Avodah Zarah of the most virulent nature. And whereas the Om, the Pechusei Erech, we're not captured and we're not seduced and we're not tempted by other gods, it's the god of Baal Peor that attracts them and seemingly has to. So here is, an observation on Baal Peor, and it is no accident, say Chazal, that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, we are told of Vezay Sabrocha Da Kodesh Baruch Hu Berit Vayegboro So Bagai Mul Veis Peor. Because what stands in direct confrontation to the laws of the Torah is the Lahavdil, the worship of Peor. Because Peor tells you there are no Gidorim. There's no holes barred. There are no fences. There are no areas, do's and don'ts. Anything goes. And if Torah stands for anything, it stands for discipline. And Peor is the absence of any discipline. And for the people who are aware of what is going on in the modern scene, understand how much we have paid for people who have not understood the virulent nature of Baal Peor. We leave it over for the sequel.